some of the distractions that just get in the way this morning. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for this day. Thank you, dear God, as we just sang about Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that he has paid the debt of our sin. He has set us free. He has given us eternal life, and he has given us the Spirit to take us through on this journey. Lord, we ask that you would just be with us now this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would just quiet our hearts, calm our minds. Help us, dear God, in the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that your word would speak to us. Father, take me out of the way, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would just work in every seat. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help me, Lord, to be able to communicate, Lord, your word and your truth in just the way that you want. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we want to stay right on that slide for a second this morning. We are beginning a new series for the next 5 Sundays, and it's called 30 Days of Thanksgiving and Praise. Mm-hmm. And let me say this, you get to hear my voice a lot, but what we're going to hear over the next 5 Sundays is we're going to hear words of thanksgiving and praise from different voices. And I want to say this, and it's in your bulletin, we want to hear your voice. And we're going to have some different preachers, but we want to have some different speakers testify to the grace and the power of God. And we want to give him thanksgiving and praise for the things that he has done this year currently in our lives. So I want to say this. Every year we do a Thanksgiving praise service on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. That's always the culmination. And everyone wants to share a word, a testimony, a scripture, a song. And it's impossible to do that, or that Sunday would never end. So we want to give you this month a chance to share a word, a testimony, a scripture, just the great things that God is doing. So starting next week, there's room for 2 to 4 of you to come up and share some of the great things that God is doing. And I want to say this, sometimes we feel like God doesn't work anymore, but we know God is still greatly at work. And we want to hear how he has worked in your lives as a means of encouraging all of us as we all go through the challenges that life brings us. So I want to encourage you, see Pastor Ansu, see me, call the office. I think there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. If you want to be and are able to be scheduled for one of those weeks coming up, we want to get you on the schedule. So it's not like on the spur, but we want to schedule you. And then that very last Sunday, we want to have a crescendo of thanksgiving and praise to God. And anybody that we didn't catch, we want to catch that day as well. Amen? So we're going to dive into our message today. And Andrea, you're going to be my clicker because it's still on Pastor Ansu's desk from last week. I watched the sermon at home last week. It's okay, Pastor Ansu. Don't worry, buddy. So we're going to take a look at, and we're going to start a new series. And by the way, Andrea reads our mind, thank God. And she's able to follow right along. But what we're going to talk about this morning as we dive into this message, and by the way, the thought, I want you to get the tagline, is we want to praise the one, as we just sang about, from whom all the blessings flow. And first thing I want to look at this morning, kind of the thought I want to kick the series off with, is this idea. What is the root of thanksgiving and praise? What's the root of that? And we know the root begins in our hearts, but we're going to take a look at that. And I want to go right down to the next slide, if you would, Andrea. And it says this. It says, and by the way, this is our feeling, isn't it? I know that I should be more thankful for all the blessings that I experience. Amen? Do you feel like that? By the way, we're really good at counting what we don't have, not what we do. Isn't that true? So I know I ought to be more thankful for all the blessings I experience, but sometimes I wonder, in this world, is it possible? You know, our world is, insatiable. And Pastor Ansu is the man. Look at that. That was the Dallas Cowboy to Philadelphia Eagle. Right? There we go. So we want to just stop and think for a minute. Let's listen to God's word as he tells us, how is this possible? So I want to go right to our eternal truth this morning. And I want to get this in our minds, by the way. God commands us as his children to give thanks and praise to him for all things in all seasons. So it's sort of a duty that we give back to God. It's something that we owe God, really. We really do. But I want to say it this way. Worship and praise and thanksgiving is a blessing to the giver. Right? It's a blessing to us. And I want to throw this out. As we all go through life, and this past 2 weeks has been just a dark hole in our life, losing my dad. But as we praise God and we lift up his name and we begin to realize that in God all things are possible, that worship and praise takes me out of being way down here in the mud and the mire and the mess of my life and your life. And it leaves me, when I come to church and I praise God that way, or I'm praising God in my car, when I get out, when I leave this place, I am more encouraged and more equipped to go on in this life and bring glory to God, right? And I'm going to throw this out. Praise God for our praise team, you know, led by Cindy before she retired, Rosemary, Pastor Ansu, all of the people, Rachel, others. You bless our hearts because you take us up out of that mud and lift us up on high so we have a hope. And that's what this is all about, right? And I want to say this. As believers, our thanksgiving is a result. It's a response because we are filled by the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus gave us. And the idea that being filled means we're controlled by the Spirit. We won't look at this verse today, but in Ephesians 5, it says, as a result of being controlled by the Spirit of God, we sing to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, lifting up our praise to God. Right? So it's a result of being controlled by the Spirit. And it's rooted in what we'll look at today, this idea of contentment. Now, I'll tell you what, contentment is an elusive thing, isn't it? We'll come to that in a minute. But it must be learned, and by the way, it can be learned and pursued so that we can offer an abundance of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. So the root that we're going to focus on this morning is this idea of contentment. And we'll talk about what it is and what it isn't. So I want to jump right on in this morning. By the way, what a great verse shown here. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And I hope that's what we're going to do today. And we're going to focus on today. Let's get the idea of this concept, this idea of thanksgiving and praise. What's the concept? And let's understand, what is the command that God, why does God command this, and what is that command? So we're going to shoot right on down to the first thing. And I want to just have you guys just kind of jot these down real fast. Here's the concept, right? What is praise? Praise, and by the way, this came from the Baker Evangelical Dictionary of Theology. That's a big word. But it kind of gives us sort of a spiritual perspective. What is praise? To praise God is to call attention to, and get it, his glory. A lot of times we praise everyone else, or we praise ourselves, and we're calling attention to our glory, right? But we're talking about this praise that we are praising God for his glory. And by the way, words that are often used as synonyms or in parallel with praise and help to point out the meaning are bless God. We talk about blessing God, right? Exalting God, extolling God, glorifying God, magnifying God, thanking God, and confessing that God is as great as his word says that he is. And I want to encourage us, that's what praise is all about. And it comes from our heart, from a heart that is contented, that is just filled with the glory of God. Now, what's thanksgiving? And by the way, let me say this. Everybody look up. Thanksgiving and praise go together. And by the way, a lot of our praise is rooted in our thankfulness to God. And I hope this month, as we kind of lay out the seeds today, that we're just going to be a crop of praise and thanksgiving unto God in the rest of this month. And by the way, hopefully that characterizes our lives way past the month of November. You know, Thanksgiving should be every day, not just one day, right? Should be every day. Here at our church, it feels like it's at least every Sunday, but I hope it's every day, right? And the idea of thanksgiving is this. It's the expression of gratitude, and this is from a dictionary, especially to God. We realize, and by the way, James chapter 1 says this, that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. So think about this. Everything, by the way, your next breath is a gift from God. The fact that you can hear me and see me is a gift from God. The fact that every heartbeat that you have is a gift from God. You know, everything that we do, every possibility that our bodies are enabled to do is a gift from God. And that's what we're talking about. Those are the concepts that we want to kind of get under control this afternoon. And we want to slide right down to the next slide if we can. So I want to share with you. God commands this. And Bobby, let me say this. There is no one in the universe that can command our praise other than the creator and the sustainer of everything that is. And that's God. You know, if we were to do that, we would be prideful. By the way, we'd be foolish. But the God of the universe, he deserves our praise. He spoke the world into existence, right? He created each one of us. He sustains us day by day. And he saved us through the blood of Jesus Christ that we'll celebrate later on in communion. He saved us as a gift back to himself of fellowship for all of eternity. That's who God is, right? And look what the Lord says, Psalm 100. But I appreciate Greg started out this morning. He said, man, Psalm 95, what a great passage. Psalm 100 is right on its heels, right? Look what it says. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. And I want you to get this. I underlined some phrases here for a reason. Notice, by the way, that praise is active. Praise isn't just, you know, I'm sitting there going like this with my earbuds on. Right? Praise is active, right? Praise is an active thing. By the way, praise can be. I'm sitting there with my earbuds on too. But check it out. Look what it says. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, right? He says, do something. Shout to the Lord. By the way, I love that song. Shout to the Lord, right? Isn't that a great song? It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. These are active things, right? Know that the Lord, he is God. Know that, like we worship God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Know that the Lord is God. That's what he's trying to say, right? It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Everybody look up. Isn't that true? God made us, not we ourselves. That's true biologically, and that is true in every walk of life, right? God made us. And it says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I tell you what, there's no better place to be than be one of the sheep in God's pasture. You know, Psalm 23 says that, right? Doesn't talk all about that, right? He guides us, he restores us, he leads us to still water, right? He leads us to green grass. And even after all that, guess what? We get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, right? That's what it means, right? He says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And I want to say this. Praise has a cause. I want you to get this at the very bottom. I just italicized it for us. It says, look what it says. Here's why we praise God. For the Lord is good. Did you get that? God is good. What? How's the church always say it? God's good. He's what? All the time. And all the time, God is good. Right? Amen. Right? God is good. The Lord is good. His mercy, his loyal love is everlasting. By the way, if that doesn't make you praise God, nothing will. That means, you know what? No matter how bad you were this week, God still loves you. No matter if you have called his name, if you received him as your Savior yet, he loves you and he wants you in the family. His mercy is everlasting. That's why we praise God. And look what it says, and his truth endures to all generations. Boy, if we think contentment is elusive, in this day it seems like truth is as well.
But guess what? I know where I can find truth. In God's holy word that hasn't changed since it was written and won't change for eternity. Right? Amen. So the command of thanksgiving and praise. God commands us to praise him. It's an active thing. It engages us, and we praise him with a cause because he's good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever. So we understand the command. And by the way, you might say, well, that's Old Testament, Pastor Gary. Because y'all know what? Psalms is part of what book, what part of the Bible? The Old Testament, right? Well, guess what? There's a New Testament version, a little shorter. And look what Paul wrote these words. He said, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And look what he says next. He says, in, what's it say? Everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And by next week, Reverend Minot, he's going to talk about giving thanks in all things. So giving thanks, God commands our praise and our thanksgiving. We're going to shoot right on down. I want to share with you guys, you know, as we read scripture, by the way, the Bible isn't like a how-to book exactly. It doesn't say on step one, do this, step two, do this, step three, do this, step four, do that. That's how we think in the West. We're kind of outline specific, outline oriented, step by step by step. You know, it's kind of like a YouTube video, right? You know, unscrew this bolt, take off this piece, you know, look in with the light. Oh, okay, do this next. That's sort of step by step. But the Bible, by the way, is written, you know, in the eastern part of our world, and it's written in stories that teach us truths in a way that really speaks to our heart. And I want to go to this, and by the way, this is First Chronicles, you know, which is the story of the kings of Israel and Judah. And this chronicle is all about David. And remember, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Yet David was a murderer, an adulterer. He had a lot of baggage, didn't he? By the way, here's the cool thing. God's mercy, what? Is forever. It's everlasting, right? So that was true for David. That's true for all of us, right? And David writes this as someone who was close to the heart of God and someone who could relate to God and worship God. It said David, by the way, used to play his instruments out in the pasture with the sheep. He'd be praising God. But look what David said. I want you to kind of get a sense of this. Here's an example of thanksgiving and praise. It says, therefore, David, look at that word, bless the Lord before all the assembly. And on the other side, everybody look up. You know, David wasn't shy about praising God. He didn't just keep it to himself. It wasn't like, you know, I don't talk about politics and religion. David talked about how great God was, right? He talked about how great God was. And it says, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. And I want you to notice, by the way, notice there is a personal pronoun used in a whole lot of ways, and everything he says is about God. And look what he says here. He says, first he says, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and earth is who? God's. So when we get into worship God, we realize, where do we fit in the picture? Everything's God's. And he's given us the blessing to be part of what he is doing. And look what he says next. He says, yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from who? From you, from God. And you reign over all. Everybody look up. Remember that Tuesday, Wednesday, and all the way until the inauguration happens in January. Right? He is over all. You know, as Christians, right? God is over all. He's over the details of our lives, and he is over the details of the whole world. Amen. Scripture says this in Isaiah, nothing misses his gaze. Isn't that great? It's a little scary because when I do stuff bad, I know he sees it. But isn't it great that he doesn't miss a trick? He knows what's going on, right? And he says, in your hand is power and might. And I'll tell you what, when I feel like I'm powerless, I can praise God that he's not. Amen. He's not. He's the overcomer. He's why we can praise God for baby Masa. He's why we can praise God in the storm. He's why we can praise God at the funeral. He's why we can praise God in everything that goes on in life, right? In his hand is power and might. I don't know about you, I could use a lot of that right about now, right? And he says, and to give, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank who? Yeah. We thank you, God, because you're the one who has brought us to where we are. And he says, and look at notice the last part. And what? And praise your glorious name. Praise your glorious name. So David kind of gives us a good example, by the way. And David wrote a whole bunch of Psalms that are a great example, by the way. There are hundreds and hundreds of praises in the scriptures. Hundreds. And I would encourage us during this month, take a look, by the way. You know, one of the great books, it's kind of hard to study the book of Psalms all the way through because there's 150 of them, right? You know, we would do 3 years from now, we would just be getting done, right? But I encourage you, look at the Psalms. Some of them are really short. Psalm 100 is really short, but it's really powerful and encourages us who God is. So David gives us that example in 1 Chronicles. We're going to slip on down. So let me back up and say this. Hey, do we got the concept of thanksgiving and praise? We got it now. It's all about God. We're praising God. It's an active thing. We're doing stuff as we praise God and lift up his name. It is all about him. And we want to focus on that. And it's a command. So we're going to slide down. Let me ask this question. What are the challenges of thanksgiving and praise? By the way, I'm sorry, I looked at my watch. It's communion today. The bread's in the oven. No, I'm only kidding. The challenges of thanksgiving and praise, and if you can't see that real good, that's Times Square. Don't we live in a world that is full of distractions? I mean, get a little of that picture, right? Anybody, who's been to Times Square? Raise your hand. It is cool, right? It's pretty cool, right? The news is over there. Sports is over there. The stock market is over there. They're trying to get me to go to Aladdin. They're trying to get me to buy, you know, some clothes at H&M so I can really look cool at church. They're trying to do all this stuff, right? All that's going on at the same time as I walk through Times Square, right? It's all there. The challenges of thanksgiving and praise. And take us down, if you would, Andrea. Here's the challenge. We all want what? More. More. And the idea is we are not satisfied. You know, I'll share. What do you guys think of a baby's first words are? John is a father. He said, Dada. All the dads said, amen, brother. All the moms are going, nope. It's mama. Well, I'll share, you know, we have a little grandson, right? Levi. And he doesn't have all, he's just beginning to learn how to speak. He says a lot of things. None of it is intelligible. But the one thing he kind of gets out sort of is that word, more. He literally comes to our house and he goes, like this means, I want some more food. Sarah brings him to our house at 6:30 in the morning. He hasn't had breakfast. And his first word to us is, more. Give me some more. Give me some food, right? He may have a few Cheerios in the car, but give me some more, right? And by the way, that's where we are as a culture, right? Our culture and all of our cravings want more. If we got money, we want more. You know, we want more free time. We want more. We want more of everything. And get this in our mind, right? More is always equated with what? Better. You know, and I'll share this, even to our fault. How many people take vitamins? You take a one a day, right? Have you ever in your mind said, I wonder if I took two a day, would it be better? You get the idea? By the way, it's not better. Some vitamins, if you take more, it'll make you sick. Some are oil soluble, some are water soluble. Don't take more. But more is always equated with better. And get this in our mind, isn't more always equated with happier? In our culture it is, right? Get some more, you just need more. You get a little, you're happy. You get more, you're just going to be overflowing with happiness, right? More is equated with happier. By the way, let me interject real quick. This is not from the scripture. This is from the culture. So this really isn't true. But in our culture, more is the goal. And I want to throw this out. Here's one of the challenges. Not only is more the goal, but we compare ourselves, don't we? Well, he got a really nice car, and I'm driving this thing. Anybody been there? Dan has my car. His car is messed up, so I have Jane's car, and it's nicer than all the other two. So I got a good-looking ride today, right? But that's kind of where we are, right? More is equated with happier, more is the goal. But it's not really true because we never get enough. And that's kind of the issue. That's sort of the enemy of contentment is I want more. And I'm going to throw this out. They say this about comparison, because someone else has something nicer than you do. They say comparison is the thief of our joy. And I think it's true, isn't it? It's like, you know, you have a car. It gets you where you got to go. It gets you there safely. It may not look as slick as you'd like to look, but it gets you there, right? And then you look at your neighbor's car and go, "Woo, look at that." All of a sudden, what we have is not good enough. Our joy is stolen, and we go on this chase for more, right? That's the problem. So that's the challenge, right? What are we going to do with that? So here's the next step. It's called the core of thanksgiving and praise, and that's contentment. By the way, isn't that a peaceful picture? But even the water is not being blown by the wind. You can see the reflection. It's like a mirror. The trees are just reflected in that. It's just so beautiful, right? Contentment is the core of our thanksgiving and our praise. So we'll go down to the next slide. And I want you guys to get this in your mind. Take this one you want to take a picture of, right? This is kind of a working definition. This isn't a dictionary definition, but the idea of contentment is this. I am satisfied where, and I'll come back to the parentheses in a second, where I am, who I am, and where I am going. Now, I better look up for a sec. By the way, remember your teacher said, look up, and you're like, everybody's like, don't look up, they're going to call on you, right? Here's an interesting thought. I see all your eyes. Is that really true? Probably not really, right? Maybe it is, but probably not for a lot of us, right? But here's the parenthesis part. I'm satisfied because as God is in his sovereignty, God's in control of all things. He does all things. He's directed all things, and he's provided all things. So I'm satisfied where God has placed me is the idea, right? Where I am, who I am, you know, by the way, I wish that I didn't have a bald spot. Can I get amen? Yeah. Come on, y'all, right? Amen, right? Yeah, right, right? But I'm satisfied that that's where we are. Right? It's where I am, who I am, and where I'm going, right? And that's kind of the key, right? That's what contentment looks like, because God is the one that has placed me there, kept me there, gives me breath there, empowers me there, strengthens me there, guides me there, and takes care of me right where he's got me. Now, some of you guys are saying, wow, that's sort of like a fatalistic way of thinking about life. No, it's not really, because I continue to strive for these things, right? Holiness and growth. That my life, by the way, that's just say, might bring greater glory to God. So you know what? Can I get more education? That's a good thing. I shouldn't be anxious about it, worried about it, frightened about it, fearful about it, but I'm striving for more holiness and more growth that I can bring greater praise to God. And whatever that is, in my work, in my personal life, in every way possible in life, I'm striving for those things. And that's contentment. And that's what we need to have. Doesn't mean I'm just going to sit like a bump on the log, as they used to say, and not do anything. I'm striving to be better for the glory of God, but I'm content right now where I'm at. And God's going to do the rest for me, right? That's the idea. So we're going to slide down to a verse real quick, right? Now check this out. Some principles I want you guys to get a hold of. And this is the one from 1 Timothy we just looked at. And my goal today is not to preach all the verses that I get preached the rest of the month. I'm just trying to introduce this concept and get us thinking about what the root of contentment, what the root of thanksgiving and praise is. So get this in your mind. So it just says, and by the way, this is written by Apostle Paul. And he writes it to people that have money. And by the way, I'll tell you, everybody look up. This message is to all of us. Some of you say, well, you don't know how poor I am. I guarantee you, you have more than these people did when Paul wrote the letter to them. And he wrote it to Timothy, who was a young missionary pastor. He was like, not that. He didn't have much at all. But he gave him some words of wisdom as a young man. This is how I want you to think. And he said these words. He says, now godliness, having that holiness of life and trying to grow and strive that way, with contentment is great gain. And I want to just, and he emphasized this, by the way, we can all think about this. He says, for we brought nothing into this world. Not about you guys. Did anybody come in with a car, a suit jacket, money in your diaper? You didn't even come in with a diaper, right? So no, you didn't, right? Right? That didn't happen. It says you brought nothing into this world, and it's certain you're not going to carry anything out. You know, and I just had the chance to see that with my dad, right? He didn't take anything with him. You know, and by the way, this is the sad part. When I go to his house, it just seems so empty because dad's not there. But all the stuff is there. And now all the stuff is now something me and my brother got to figure out what we're going to do with. Right? But we don't take it with us, right? At all, right? And he says, and having food and clothing with these, we shall be what? Content. I'm okay. I don't have everything, but God's given me what I need right now. Right? And he says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, get that word, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Isn't that true? When you chase money, and by the way, Solomon said that. He said a whole bunch of ways, but he said, one, he said this, he said, you never have enough. Right? Chasing the wind. Vanity of vanities, all that is vanity. Right? That's what Solomon said. But here's what kind of helps us. But you, us, right? Oh, man of God, flee these things. Run away. Run as fast as you can. Put the lightest pair of sneakers on and the lightest outfit and run fast from this stuff. And he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Don't pursue that. It's like chasing the wind. Yeah, and we've seen all the bad things that come from that, right? So that's kind of the principle that we got to get a hold of. There's a second principle, though. So take us down, Andre, real quick, if you would. One more time. I put the same slide in twice. Keep going. One more. There's a pathway to this. Because I'm going to throw this out. Let's all be honest, right? Okay, everybody, eyes front. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your wife. Don't look at anybody else, right? Look up, right? How many people feel like they're 100% content with where God has you? 100%. Wow, a couple of you, right? Okay, amen, if that's where you are, right? But here's the challenge, and here's the pathway. Contentment can be learned. Did you get that? Isn't that a good thing? Because I didn't come with that, I'll tell you that. You didn't either, by the way. We didn't come with it. Contentment can be learned. And he says, and by the way, this is Paul again writing in Philippians. He says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Paul, by the way, get this in your mind. Just so you understand his contentment level. Paul is in jail. Now, let's be real. Raise your hand. You'd be content in jail. You'd be trying to get out. You be trying to dial lawyers' numbers and do all that stuff, but you be trying to get out of jail, right? You would think it's someone else's fault, it's not yours. I would too. He is not in a good place. But he says, these people, by the way, in that day when you were in jail, the only way you ate is if your family brought you food. The only way you got warm is when your family brought you a coat. And Paul actually said that later on. He says, yeah, bring my coat. It's cold, right? And look what he says. He says in verse 11, get this in your hearts. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Did y'all get that? I have learned. And let me say this. For us, school is in session. It really, really is, right? And we need to learn to be content. And I want to illustrate that real quick for a second. Here's the funny thing. As you get older, I just turned 60, right? As you get older, you're not looking to get more stuff, at least as much as you used to be. You know, by the way, my wife is throwing things out. She's home. She's home. Pray for her. She has a bad cough, so she didn't want to share that with you guys today. So she's home. But she is in this cleanup mode. She's like, you know, I'm like, whoa, hold on. We need that. No, you don't. Boom. Right. And I guess she's apparently right because I'm still alive, still okay, right? But she's getting rid of stuff, right? Amen, right? So, but he says this phrase, he says, I've learned to be content. And I say that to say this, you know, as we get older, we realize those things were nice, but we didn't really need them all that much, or we definitely don't need them now if we needed them then, right? Yeah, yeah. And I'll throw this out, as we grow older, hopefully we are growing wiser, and we begin to realize those things. When we're young, we never have enough, right? We need this. And by the way, you know, praise God in one way for Amazon, but man, it's a curse. Because you can just think the thought, and it's at your door, right? You know, it's terrible that way. But look what he says, right? He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, kind of be lacking. I know how to abound, have it all. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both abound and to suffer need. And I wrote this in bold. Look at verse, here's why. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did you get it? That's because I really got the main thing when I got Jesus. You know? I might look better in a new suit, but the one I have with Jesus is enough. Right? You know, you can put anything else to replace suit, right? And then look what he says in verse 19. He says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I want to throw this out. You know, if you come to me and you need $100 and I give it to you, I got $100 less. And the idea when God gives us something, it doesn't change. He can just keep giving and keep giving and keep giving and keep giving. It says, according to his riches and glory, not out of his riches and glory. When you get it from me or Pastor Ansu, it's out of. When you get it from God, the pipeline just keeps flowing. Right? That's the beautiful thing about having God in the center there. Right? So we're going to skip down. Take us down, if you would, Andrea. Hebrews 13:5 kind of says the same thing. Let your conduct be without covetousness. You know that phrase, by the way, one of the Ten Commandments is don't covet. Don't want something so bad you're willing to do anything to get it from your neighbor, right? It says, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. So the point is, right, we're content when we have Jesus, not stuff, right? Keep on going. We'll go down one more. Kind of get the idea. I want to encourage us. Remember, he said this? This is what we got to pursue, though. We got to get our eyes on the real prize, on the real target, and then we can live right. And this is just a repeat of the verse I gave you a little while ago. He says, but you, O man of God, flee these things. Flee searching after all that stuff, trying to get all that stuff. Flee that. Be focused on what God wants you to do and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. And if I do this, I will overcome the lure of more and I will learn contentment. That's the key. Like, I am living for God. I am running toward God. I am running toward righteousness. I am running toward being the believer, the little Christ that God saved me to be. Right? It kind of gets us focused, doesn't it? So, boom. Let's go on down, and we're done. The course of thanksgiving and praise. Here's the deal, right? Nobody here knows your heart. You really don't know my heart. I try to share, but no one really knows our hearts, right? Other than us, right? So here's the course. Take us down, Andre, if you would. We all need an honest heart checkup. We're not going to the cardiologist at the hospital. We're going to the one who created the heart. Right? What's going on with us? We need to genuinely confess where we are off in this area. And I'll throw this out. A lot of times we're all seeking this and seeking that and not really seeking God at the same level, right? So that's one thing we got to do. We got to change. And God's Holy Spirit directed change is what we need. So like, you know, God's kind of touched your heart today. Said, well, yeah, maybe I'm really wrestling with them. I'm not that content where I'm at. And then we got to count our blessings, not our unmet wants. And I'll throw this out, by the way. I use that word specifically. A lot of times we say, I need that. And need is what? Matthew 6 says this, right? Someone else will be doing that, pastors, hopefully, right? Matthew 6 says what? The body is just clothing. Food, right? You know, God feeds the birds of the air, right? Yes. Right? Yeah. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So my prayer is that's how I would be, and that's how we would be as the FBC team. And that once we get a grip on contentment, my praise and worship will rock the doors of heaven. Amen. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue, Lord, to keep those thoughts, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit in our minds to the point, Lord, that they cause us to change. Father God, you saved us where we are, but it was never your goal to leave us like we were. Change us, dear God, by your power. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today struggling with any of these things, Lord, that you would just speak to their hearts. And Lord, that they would not leave this place frustrated because they can't change, but encouraged because in your power, change is possible. And change begins with receiving Jesus as our Savior. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, that doesn't have that relationship with you, Lord, that is the fundamental starting point of this change. Father God, just work in our hearts now, I pray, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, today is the first Sunday of November. Hard to believe, isn't it? But you know, in this church and in many Baptist churches, that's the day that we celebrate the Lord's Supper or communion. And that's the time where we actually remember what Jesus has done for us. We reflect on where we are, and we recommit ourselves to a walk of really following God and seeking God first. So I want to ask you guys, say, if you came in, did anybody not receive the elements this morning? The elements are here. Our deacons are coming in with a basket. Just raise your hand if you didn't get the elements this morning. And I'm going to ask Pastor Ansu and Deacon Gordon, Deacon Morris to come on up on to the platform as well as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's table. Just keep your hand up if you didn't get the elements. keep it up. We got you. We're going to invite our, yeah, we're going to bring our kids. Come on in, guys, right down to the front, I guess, is a good spot for you. Follow Deacon Jonathan. All right. And as our kids come in, I want to share this. You know what? This it's called an ordinance. This celebration that we partake of today is for people in our midst, in this fellowship right now, that are in fellowship, have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They believe that he died and rose again for their personal sins, and the Holy Spirit now indwells them as a saved person. And as a saved person, we celebrate what Jesus did. And I just want to take us briefly to the book of Luke for a quick minute this morning. And Jesus, by the way, in all the Gospels, talked about the Lord's table. And I begin in Luke chapter 22, verse 19. It says, and he, Jesus, took bread. By the way, notice what he did. He gave thanks. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And the bread that we hold in our hand, it looks like a little matzah cracker, which it is, represents the body of Jesus that was given and broken for us that we might have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And my brother, my saved brother, Morris Summers, is going to give thanks to God for the broken body of Jesus represented by the bread.
And this is the first thing I think I want to say is thank you, dear Father in heaven, for everything that you do for us each and every day. And also, I want to remember today that Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross, died and was buried, but he was raised on the third day. And that was for us, for all of our sins. And dear Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for everything that you do for us each and every day. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take out that piece of bread, if you would. You know, by the way, this is what makes us one. This is what makes us Christians, that Jesus gave his body to be broken for us, to pay the penalty for all of our rebellion and all of our sin, for all of men, for all of time, and all of women and children too. That's what makes us who we are. That's why we celebrate this. And I'll throw this out. When it comes to giving thanks this month of November, if I have nothing else to be thankful for, thank God I'm in the family of God and eternity is secure. Let's partake together.
Amen.
As we go through the time, I just want to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Jesus was having the Last Supper with his disciples. And in verse 27, he says, that was Jesus speaking. Said, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And this is the part I like. He says that, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you. Amen. In my Father's kingdom, not here. So that's the assurance Jesus has given us, and he's waiting for us. Waiting for that day that we will drink together in the Father's kingdom. And that's something we can hold on to know that, hey, he did it for us to be reunited with him. So I'm going to ask Gordon to just pray for the element of the wine.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your great mercy, you gave us Jesus, and that he spilled his blood on the cross and died for us, for our sins, and that on the third day he rose again to give us eternal life if we but believe in his name. And dear Holy Father, we thank you for our salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let us all drink together.
Now, kind of as an act of thanksgiving, I'm going to ask our praise team. We're just going to sing a couple of verses of Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
As they do that, if there's anyone with a need, with an issue, or the need for prayer, help, whatever it is, we invite you to come. If you're unable to do that, see us at the door as well. We'd love to help today with that. Even if you wanted to receive Jesus as your Savior, what an amazing day that would be to do that today.
Please stand and join us.
Blessed
check it out. Did you hear what it said? This is my story, and this is my song. That what the God of the universe sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me, rise again, give me eternal life, forgiveness of sin, and the power of the Holy Spirit and the hope of heaven.
Amen.
Now I'll throw this out. Is that a good reason to praise?
Yes.
If nothing else is going great in your life, isn't that a great reason to praise God?
Yep.
Man, that's the everlasting reason. Pastor Ansel, he's going to close us with a word of prayer. And we want to encourage you, if you're part of the our financial workshop, come on back to room 20 and 21. The food pantry's down there. Just let our parents receive our children first. And we hope that you have a great week. A week of thanksgiving and praise.
Let's pray. Eternal, gracious, everlasting Father, how great thou art.
Amen.
And all we can do is say, thank you, Lord. thank you for all that you've done and you will continue to do, Lord God. Even when we cannot comprehend, you are still doing wonders. Amen. And all we want to say, thank you, Jehovah. We just give you all the praise, O God, all the honor, O God. Be glorified. And as we praise you, O God, you will be honored in our daily lives, O God. Bless us now, guide us now until we can reconvene. We'll take care of us through the week, and that we will continue to praise you not only on Sunday morning, but on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, till the next week, O God. Even when things don't seem to be working out, we will praise you, O God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.